From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 29th day of April, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Dan O'Brien from K-State University will be here to take a look at the agricultural energies. We'll discuss the weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Your Director of Ag Programming, Dave Dickey, is along with all the ag news for the afternoon, and we'll hear from the state statisticians and crop progress reports from Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Indiana. It all happens during this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey's team is committed to providing resources to today's producers. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up at the CME Group in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon. Nearby May, soft red winter wheat at $7.08, up 7.75 for the dime. July or the harvest month at $7.16.5, 8 cents higher. The hard red July at $8.02.5, up 16 as well. May corn futures at 8 cents higher, finished $5.15.75. July at $5.21.5, up 7.75. In September, $5.16.25, up 6.25. December futures, $5.12.25, 5.25 higher. And the March, $5.19.75, up 4.75. May of next year at $5.25.75, 4.5 higher. In July, 2015 corn, $5.31, up 4.25. Bean finished at $15.24, up 15.75. July soybeans at $15.17.25, up 17.25. And the August at $14.43. That's up 16.5 cents. November soybeans, $12.48. A settlement price there, up 8.75. In January futures, $12.52.75, 8.25 higher. The March of next year at $12.55.75, up 7 cents. In July of 2015, that is, at $12.58, up 5.25 cents. Bean meal at $4.99.90, up $3. Bean oil at $42.77, finished 15 cents higher. Live cattle futures in the April at $145.50, up 10 cents. June live cattle at $137.25, up 20 for the day. May feeder cattle $180.57, down 52.5 cents. The August at $186.55, 20 cents higher. Lean hogs at $120.27, finished down 70 cents in the May. June futures at $125.27.5, $1.05 higher. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media and the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil for the day, June contract, $101.13, up 29 cents. Arbob gasoline at $3.06.3, that's 2.2 cents higher. And ethanol futures at $2.29.5, 1.7 cents higher. The spread between those two is 76.8 cents wide. That's about 0.5 cents narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.82.5, up 2.6 cents, and diesel fuel for the day at $2.96.9, 1.7 cents higher. Silver trading at 1948, that's down 0.1, and the June futures into gold at $1,296.30, down $2.70. The U.S. dollar at 79.81 is up 0.12. Let's check the weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area as it comes from the National Weather Service for this Tuesday afternoon. Outside, partly sunny skies for this afternoon. And then this evening, the National Weather Service says we should see a chance of showers. Cloudy skies, a low of 46 degrees on a south-southwest wind at 6 to 14 miles an hour. That a gust to 18. Tomorrow, 30% chance of showers. Cloudy and a high of 56. Mostly cloudy on Wednesday evening and with a low of 43. And Thursday, another 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy and 54 degrees. It'll be breezy with a west-southwest wind at 11 to 20, gusting to 25. Thursday evening, cloudy with a low of 43. Friday, a 30% chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy and 57 degrees. And Friday night, mostly cloudy and 42. Saturday, as we start the real weekend, partly sunny with a high of 62 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 44. And on Sunday, a chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 67, 46 degrees for the low on Sunday evening and partly cloudy skies. And on the beginning of the work week, partly sunny and 67. More on the weather later in the cast. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. This is the 29th day of April, 2014. On the phone line is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good April afternoon to you, Wayne.
My gosh, April's about over, Todd.
Well, it's about over. Farmers are out of the field, at least temporarily, but in our area, they have gotten quite a bit of corn in the ground. Many have finished. There are other places around the nation and even around the state that haven't moved so much.
You know, we've seen either they're just about done or they just haven't started over here, depending on what they felt like, whether they wanted to plant before this rain and cooler weather spate here. But a lot of corn's went in the ground. A lot of ground is already for them to go as soon as they can get back in the field. Anhydrous is on, and, you know, I think that we'll see some tremendous progress. The fact of the matter is we've only had about an inch over in our area, so with the wind blowing here, depending on what the rain does tonight, there could be a little movement tomorrow.
Well, they could be back in the field. That would be good. Hey, a couple of things I want to talk to you about. Can I talk with you just a bit about China?
Sure.
What's been happening there and with the owner of Smithfield Foods that has purchased that? We'll hear a bit about that later this afternoon yet from Dave Dickey in the Ag News. But it looks to me like they're going to have some problems with that Smithfield payout and the final purchase. And what will that really mean over the long term, if anything, or do we just have to kind of wait it out?
Well, I think it's not good whenever you have a deal that doesn't go through well. I mean, that's just sort of the bad thing about it. But, you know, we're going to have to wait and see a little bit on how that things shake on out. But, you know, the hog industry that they bought and intended on bringing a lot of stuff into the from the U.S. into China because of that, you know, it does throw some red flags up in saying that maybe the importing of pork and that isn't going to work so well.
And nonetheless, hogs and the PEDV are still a problem here in the United States, and we've got some really high prices, and they remain there.
Yeah, I mean, we have got some real problems. You know, we've talked to some hog producers and that along the way, and some of the big, big feeders out there that are raising these hogs, they've got lots of empty buildings, and come end of July, August, September, I think we're going to notice a real cut down in what the slaughter numbers are.
I took the day off yesterday and made my way across to some areas that have pasture land, speaking of animals that aren't there. There seemed to be some empty pastures where I thought there ought to be some feeder calves there.
You would think there would be, but boy, the feeder calves have been selling tremendously high, and they're going into feedlots at a lot lighter weight. In a lot of cases, these guys are just wanting to get them on feed and try to get these high prices for these cattle that way. And we're seeing them fed to heavier weights to boot, so the feedlots are taking them out of the grass lots a lot sooner.
Corn, beans, and wheats and wheat all made a nice stab higher today.
You know, the July corn is the highest close we've seen in 8 months here today, Todd. You know, so, and believe it or not, the cash corn, we're 64 cents less than South American corn at this point in time. So we're going to continue to see the exports probably be good until they come down a little lower in price. So we've got that market under control. And, of course, the wheat tour is seeming to see some bad fields out there. We've got to see how they total it up for the day, and haven't seen those numbers. But it does look like it's going to be a projection of a lower crop, and maybe not quite as good as we thought the crop rating, by equating the crop ratings back into it, maybe it isn't going to be quite as good as we thought it was.
Do you have any concerns about the export numbers from the United States for corn and whether they can actually deliver the corn, whether those will be rolled forward, might they be canceled? I don't know.
Well, you know, we look here, and even though we're seeing some fairly good numbers, we're going to have to keep some awfully good numbers week in, week out to get up to the exports that they have projected. So, you know, it's not like the wheat or the beans that were way ahead on them. So, you know, good numbers are going to keep rolling in, but it's going to be hard. We can't see any increases in those numbers, I don't think.
And actually, the 19% planted yesterday was a number that was a little lower, I think, than most had expected, although we have a couple of years in the rolling 5 years that were planted pretty quickly. I don't think it's as far behind as many are suggesting, and we'll hear some about that from the Indiana statistician a little bit later in this program. But I'm wondering whether, when you look at the corn number, whether you're surprised that it managed to stay strong today, even in the face of planting.
You know, we did see an awful lot of strength there today. I was surprised that it was as good as it was. I didn't think the 19% was that bad a number. A lot of people are looking at not this week's forecast, but the next week's forecast, and, of course, the variation of the models. And if we would have trouble getting back in the field next week, I think then is when we start to feel a little pain. I think some are maybe looking a little hard at the the bad excuse for not being to plant next week. Also, there is a lot of talk about some acreage shifting out of corn if we can't get in by the middle of next week in the southern states, and, of course, some of the northern states where some of that bad weather, this even a little bit of snow falling, is falling that way, too. So that's what they were talking about, is a little reduction in acres.
Old crop corn, or rather old crop soybeans, still climbing higher.
Yeah, you know, even if we are going to plant more acres of beans, well, that doesn't help the old crop situation. We're surprised to see as much strength as there was in this area. You know, we talked to our old buddy Dan Zwicker, and boy, he's just bulled up in the technical charts, got him rolling on down the road, and I guess if he's right, I'm going to have a lot of egg on my face.
Well, we'll see whether he's right. In fact, I think I will post this in a little later. I pre-recorded this. You're going to hear me tell you how to get to Dan's thoughts from last week, and I'm going to try to post that just directly into willag.org so you can see it on the front page. I've got to go find it and make sure it's there, but a lot of people have asked about it, and they probably want to hear it again, so we'll go back and let Dan and I talk about it up there on the willag.org. Anything else for the week that you want to take up before I let you go?
You know, we're getting up to some pretty attractive prices here on the November beans, at $12.48 today.
Yeah.
You know, with this thing running like this and with the idea that we are going to maybe have a few less corn acres and a few more bean acres, somewhere in this $12.50 to above, why is not a level to maybe sell a few cash beans.
Yeah, I suppose that's only 50 cents off the last high back in when, June of last year. So
yeah, it's getting like an awful good price.
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joined us on the closing market report for this Tuesday afternoon.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Well, your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, China's WH Group, the world's biggest pork company, announced today that it is shelving its multi-billion dollar Hong Kong IPO as investor demand sags amid rocky financial markets. WH Group became the world's biggest pork company after buying Smithfield Foods of the U.S. last year. And the decision to abandon the share sale complicates its efforts to pay off loans used to complete that purchase. The Chinese company had initially planned to raise up to $5.3 billion in an initial public offering on Hong Kong's stock exchange. Most of the proceeds were intended to be used to pay off the debt from the Smithfield takeover, which was valued at $7.1 billion, including $4.7 billion in cash. The International Monetary Fund today says that mounting uncertainty about Russia's relations with the West and its neighbors threatens to weaken an expected pickup in economic growth across Central and Eastern Europe over coming years. The U.S. and the European Union this week imposed additional sanctions against Russia, but U.S. and European officials are holding off on targeting broad sectors of Russia's economy, including its energy, banking, and military industries, due to fears of an economic backlash. The IMF noted that many countries in the region are heavily reliant on Russian exports of oil and natural gas for their energy needs. Archer Daniels Midland Company said its first quarter earnings edged down as the company again reported weak results at its grain trading division. During February, the company said it was planning aggressive steps to improve its grain trading division after the unit contributed to a 27% decline in its fourth quarter earnings. In the latest quarter, the merchandising and handling segment reported that its operating earnings declined 20% to $69 million. ADM reported a profit of $267 million, or 40 cents a share, down from $269 million, or 41 cents a share a year earlier. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. If you'd like to find the weekly files, you can do that on our mobile website. The address there is http://m.willag.org. Remember, no www in front of that. Just m for mobile, .willag.org. And I think you might want to go back and listen to Zwicker. You can find him there under the weekly archive for our Thursday edition of last week. It'll be up until we replace that on Thursday of this week. One other place you can go to listen to our programming, just a regular phone call, 217-333-3434 at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day. Up next, as of 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture has released their weekly crop progress report, this one as of Sunday, the 27th day of April. It shows that 19% of the corn crop has been put into the ground around the nation. That trails the 2009 to 2013 or rolling five-year average of 28%. But listen up to the Indiana crop progress report when it shows up here in a bit. There is some explanation as to why that might trail so heavily at this point. Emerged corn set at 3%. That compares to 6% on the five-year rolling average. 3% of the soybean crop has been planted this year. That compares to 4% on the rolling five-year average. And if we look at the condition of the wheat crop around the nation, it shows 18% of the crop has headed. That compares to 26% on the rolling five-year average. This week's condition is 28% good, 5% excellent. That compares to last week of 29% and 5%. So it's down 1 point from the previous week in those two categories. Now here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Katie Andel, agricultural statistician for the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report. Wet conditions continue to slow down field work in Iowa during the 3 days that were suitable for field work. Statewide, planting progress was ahead of the previous year's progress, but trailed behind the five-year average. Corn planting reached 15% complete by the end of the week, 13 points ahead of last year, but still behind the normal pace of 33%. Corn has started to emerge, and there were scattered reports of soybeans being planted. Extreme temperatures ranged from a low of 26 degrees at Sheldon Tuesday morning to a high of 85 degrees at Jefferson, Logan, and Sioux City on Sunday, April 20th. Temperatures for the week averaged 3 degrees above normal. Showers and thunderstorms were widespread Wednesday into Thursday. Precipitation fell again on Saturday night and Sunday. Rain for the week varied from 0.16 inches at Sheldon and Sibley to 4.02 inches at Rowan. Average precipitation for the week was 1.09 inches, 0.16 inches above normal. Topsoil and subsoil moisture levels improved to 81 and 50% adequate to surplus, respectively. Northwest Iowa was the driest, with 17% of topsoil and 26% of subsoil in the very short category. This is Katie Andel reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois, with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was a very good week for field work in most parts of the state. Many producers have made good progress on corn planting, and some soybeans have been planted as well. Corn planted increased by 27 points to 32% complete, compared to 1% last year at this time and 33% for the five-year average. 2% of the crop has emerged, compared to 10% normally at this time. Soybeans planted reached 2% complete, compared to 3% for the five-year average. The condition of the winter wheat crop was mostly unchanged from last week. Conditions are reported as 8% very poor and poor, 30% fair, and 62% good and excellent. Temperatures were generally above average last week, but northern areas were below average. Soil temperatures on Sunday morning ranged from slightly below 50 degrees in northern areas to above 60 degrees in southern areas. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop progress report. Wet conditions continued to limit field work in Minnesota during the week. Soil temperatures remained a concern in northern Minnesota, and there were 1.7 days rated suitable for field work statewide. That compares to an average of 3.2 days. Crop planting progress was ahead of last year, but behind the five-year average. 4% of the corn crop has been planted. That's 26 percentage points behind the five-year average. Spring wheat planted was 2% complete, 37 percentage points behind the five-year average. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Glenn Goodrich with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending April 27, 2014. Many farmers took advantage of warmer and drier conditions this week to kick off planting, although others have held back in anticipation of cool, wet weather predicted for much of next week. Corn planting is underway, but still well below average for this time of year. Soybean planting has been reported in very limited amounts, primarily in southern districts. While progress appears to be slow relative to five-year averages, it's important to note that these averages include the unusually fast years of 2012 and 2010. Some small portion of frost damage has been witnessed in winter wheat as it greens up, but is otherwise well into jointing and in fair to good condition. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending April 27th, 2014. This is Glenn Goodrich reporting.
Our thanks, of course, to the state statisticians from Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Indiana. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
It's a Tuesday afternoon. This is Illinois Public Media. K-State Extension's Ag Energy Specialist and Grain Specialist, Dan O'Brien, is on the phone line this afternoon. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Good, Todd.
Now let's take up ethanol, the situation it's been in, and where you expect it to be headed at this point.
Well, we have seen within the last month some of the highest prices that we've seen in a good while in the ethanol industry. Again, if you look at the USDA AMS numbers here on in the beginning of April, at least for Iowa, we saw ethanol prices at $3.05, and now as we've declined at about a rate of 15 to 20 cents per week, and we're down to $2.40 per gallon. And during that time frame, corn prices have stayed pretty level, whereas distillers' grains prices have dropped off somewhat from about $2.34 to $2.38 down to about $2.25. So profitability for the month of April, as you look at combining the highs of the early part of the month for ethanol prices and now somewhat lower numbers, overall, on average, it looks like we're averaging about $1.09 per gallon. But if you focus just on the last week, we're down to about 83 cents per gallon. Still, in terms of where we've been at over the last, in 2013 and compared to 2012 we lost money literally every month, except perhaps for January. 2013, I had some moderate profitability, and here now in March and April we jumped up and had some higher profits. And there are issues, Todd, that you and I have talked about before over the previous months, and some supply tightness and various issues coming into play that kind of drove some of this. But overall, it's been a time of profitability and really, to some degree, some needed recovery for some plants that really struggled over the last 1 or 2 years.
And I think that is kind of the bottom line for our talk today, isn't it?
I think so. It'll be interesting. Of course, we know where we stand right now. We're trying to project or understand where we might, or think about where we might end up at the end of the year. I think we're pretty comfortable with the idea of lower corn prices, but where will demand be? So that'll be the thing to watch.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Yep, that is Dan O'Brien. He's with K-State University in Kansas and joins us here on this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back in a couple minutes to take a look at the weather forecast with Don Day.
It's National Shrimp Scampi Day. Shrimp were well known by the ancient Romans and Greeks, but shrimp scampi, as known in America, did not become popular until after World War II, when a number of Italian dishes went mainstream, often appearing as a staple on cafe and restaurant menus. One of the most popular dishes consisted of large prawn tails coated in breadcrumbs and deep fried. Incidentally, scampi is not one set recipe, but a generic name applied to several dishes composed of shrimp. On this day in agricultural history in 1768, George Brandt died, a Swedish chemist. He discovered the element cobalt in 1730. Cobalt is used in steelmaking and is an essential part of vitamin B12. In 1856, a shipment of 33 camels arrived at the Texas port of Indianola. They had been purchased on the North African coast for the U.S. Army to use in the deserts of the Southwest. In 1873, the first U.S. patent for a railroad coupler was issued to E.H. Janney of Alexandria, Virginia. And in 1998, Brazil, in light of increased soybean acres, agreed to set aside about 62 million acres of the Amazon rainforest for conservation. The cost of the project was estimated as much as $156 million. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day from Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming is on the phone line. Don, we have received quite a little bit of rain over the last several days here in our part of the world. Some of that was widespread. Can you tell me who received rain and who did not?
Well, the heaviest rainfall over the last couple of days, at least in our neck of the woods, has been across eastern sections of Illinois, northern Illinois, then across central and southern Indiana, and especially Ohio. There are some portions of Ohio, central and southern and southwest Ohio, that picked up over 2 inches of rainfall. And there's another area of heavy precipitation across portions of central and southern Wisconsin, portions of Iowa as well. Now, rainfall amounts are generally between a quarter of an inch to three quarters of an inch. But those areas that I mentioned, Ohio, portions of Wisconsin, got anywhere between 1 to 2 inches of rain, as well as west central areas of Illinois.
Now, while it's been pretty wet in parts of the Midwest, there are other parts of the nation that are really dry. For instance, I see over the noon hour, the parts of I-70 in Colorado were shut down because of a dust storm.
Yeah, and a little bit of what's going on there has to do with the same storm that's affecting most of the country. There's a high wind event that stretches across several western states, Colorado, Wyoming, Nebraska, and Kansas, and South Dakota, experiencing 40, 50, 60-mile-per-hour winds and also unseasonably cold conditions. And this has caused a lot of dust to get blown around eastern Colorado, which in east central and southeast Colorado, it's been very dry this winter, although many of the areas that are experiencing the dust storm right now did receive a little bit of precipitation this past weekend. But it's in an area where we have a high wind event and a lot of tumbleweeds, a lot of dust to get blown around right now.
Well, speaking of cold, that's a nice transition at this point. I think we're supposed to have cooler temperatures here in the Midwest the next several days.
Well, we will. Now, this storm system that's nearly stalled out is going to make some tracks and get out of here, starting to see temperatures rebound this weekend. Now, beginning this weekend and into the first half of next week, we should have a nice moderation in temperatures. However, for today and probably up through Friday, we should expect our temperatures to remain below normal before this weekend and next week brings us some warmer temperatures.
It'll be not so great for corn that is now in the ground, but it probably can wait that out. Are there any places that will be terribly cold? For instance, I think we're only in the 40s here, which won't be too bad, but anybody get into the 20s or something along those lines?
Well, if you get up into the northern plain states, certainly there will be temperatures that will be as cold as the upper 20s and low 30s tonight. Places like the Dakotas, Minnesota, portions of Wisconsin, in deep south into Nebraska, some freezing temperatures are going to be possible. Like portions of western Nebraska right now experiencing some snow shower activity. We do expect, however, by the time the system moves, that those temperatures should moderate some, but I would certainly watch around northern Illinois, northern Indiana, near the Great Lakes, where it might be cold enough to get down to those lower 30s.
So farmers will be kind of stalled this week in the Midwest. Once we get to next week, farmers might be able to move, or are we going to get rainfall with the higher temperatures?
Well, here's the good news and bad news. Good news is with the warmer temperatures initially this weekend and early next week, we don't see a lot of precipitation, but that's going to change once we hit, let's look at the time frame of Wednesday through Friday of next week. Shower and thunderstorm activity is really going to increase. And it does look like there will be several days of showers and thunderstorms moving across the Corn Belt and Midwest. Now, that will be with relatively mild temperatures, so at least it doesn't look like it'll be a real cold rain, but we'll have several days of wetness late next week and towards that following weekend.
Don Day with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. I'm Todd Gleason.